But we turn our attention now to the Africa Report with JJ Cornish. JJ, a very good morning to you. Bonjour. JJ? Ah, there we go.
Hello. Oh, good. do you think I might have been drowned out by the sound of the 31-gun salute for President Uhuru Kenyatta?
I was just going to ask you, and, you know, I see on the television that the President, Cyril Ramaphosa, is actually hosting Uhuru Kenyatta, and the first thing Joe said, what does he want?
Well, you know, what anybody wants when they come to South Africa, they want to cement further ties with us. We are, at the moment, certainly the economic power. You know, you could take a Nigerian viewpoint on that and say we contest it, but right now we are doubtless the economic power and probably the political power, too, on the continent. There's significant similarities between the two countries. Tourism, for example, and that's opening up again after COVID. How can we cooperate on that? You know, how can we draw people into this part of Africa from Europe and from the Western world, as it were? You know, Kenya has this incredible business in flowers and seeds, and I think we'd like to build our business in that regard, too. So what cooperation we can do there. But political cooperation on the continent, very, very important. Kenya has a particular viewpoint and a particular vantage point on Somalia, which is one of the areas. You know, the whole Horn of Africa is rough at this time, and Kenya is there in proximity with that. Sudan, for example. So they'll be having significant political talks about that and security issues on the continent. Both countries are pretty robust democracies, so you know there's a lot in common. I don't see Kenya as one of the so-called big five in Africa, but I do have a lot of arguments with Kenyans about that. You know, they say yes we are. I say they still have some way to go. And Uhuru Kenyatta, for example, Anthony Blinken, when he went on his first safari to Africa, visited Kenya as number one. And certainly it is seen, most importantly around the world or in the Western world, as an important African country. So we've got to have a mind to that. But the fact is, Uhuru Kenyatta, I think, will expect to get more from visiting South Africa than South Africa will get from Kenya. But you can bet that both the countries, having felt this impact of COVID, are going to be looking to each other. And we're talking about this free trade in Africa, free trade area. And so, you know, anything we can do to help each other will help those countries around us, the poorer countries around us. So I think people are looking with some anticipation of what is happening here. Africans, that is.
And security on the continent is probably one of the most important things for investment purposes and also for, you know, keeping the stability of the continent, which is one of the big things. But unfortunately, protests continue out in Sudan after Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok has been reinstated.
He has, and he's made a sort of deal with Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the military leader who led the October 25 coup. Now, Hamdok's supporters, many of them, are saying, wait, this is no deal. You don't make any deal with the military. Hamdok is saying, I have had to deal with the military in order to stop the bloodshed. A 16-year-old boy was killed yesterday in protest, and that he becomes the 42nd person killed in protests since October 25. So he believes that Sudanese blood is very valuable and he doesn't want any more of it shed if he can help it. So he's got to make some sort of deal. Now, basically, he was the civilian leader in this transitional government following the fall in 2019 of Omar al-Bashir. And they were moving towards elections on the 2023. And they still hope to be doing that now. The process, you could say, was derailed by the coup, but countries like the United States, Britain, European Union, Norway, Canada, Switzerland have all welcomed his reinstatement. The United States, incidentally, is saying it wants more before it restores aid to Sudan, and that's very, very important for the Sudanese.
Mm. The AU mediator in Ethiopia and former Nigerian president makes a second attempt at brokering peace, but this time in Tigray with the Tigray rebels.
He's talking to them, and Olusegun Obasanjo, he does a significant job as a mediator in all sorts of parts of the continent. Abiy Ahmed, of course, is sounding as bellicose as ever. He's claiming a victory on the battlefield in Amara, and he's saying that I will lead from the front. The TPLF, the People's Liberation Front of Tigray, said they have spoken to Obasanjo with sort of a shrug of the shoulder to say, well, look, this is what we're dealing with. Yes, we will... We're willing to engage, but this is what we're kind of dealing with, this kind of militant behavior by Abiy Ahmed, who's supposed to be a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. So there's a lot to go there. I mean, that is probably one of the real, real conflict areas in Africa at the moment, could well be the most worrying one as we speak.
Mm. And the United States Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, wraps up his safari in Senegal. Was he just there on safari, or what can Senegal look forward to?
Well, when I say safari, I mean diplomatic safari. Mm. You know, he started out in Kenya, as I mentioned, and spoke about security in the area, like security in the Horn, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia. Then he went on to Nigeria, where he made a lot of statements about the new policy of the Biden administration towards Africa. Judge us on what we do, not on what we say. So the next few months will show what it's, you know, whether it's worth it. The Senegalese foreign minister, Aissata Tall Sall, said that the United States' influence in Africa will always be important. And interestingly, Blinken made a sort of warning to Russia, saying don't interfere in Mali and that very shady mercenary group, the Wagner group or Wagner group, is involved there. And basically, Blinken is saying, you know, they're trying their very best to beat the jihadis in Mali and in the whole of that Sahel region, the five countries of the Sahel that have banded together to fight the jihadis. And you come in and interfere there and muddy the waters. I mean, Russia's interfering very much in countries like Libya, too. So that's a great concern. And Blinken has issued this warning, don't interfere. Essentially, you know, I can imagine the Russians will come back saying, well, who are you to say that to us? What are you doing there? You know, and then we get back into the whole proxy war thing. But the fact is, he's come to indicate his interest or the United States' interest in Africa. And so this safari was a very important thing, and it was relatively early in the administration. You know, Donald Trump waited a long time and still called Africa, well, effectively, he spoke about Africa in scatological terms before doing much.
Mm. And it's nice to see that, you know, the U.S. is actually sort of reaching out and cementing a better relationships with Africa as a whole, and with South Africa also in particular. That's J.J. Cornish, and that's the wrap of the Africa Report with you this morning. 0214460567, or on the WhatsApp line if you'd love to join the conversation about that air fryer on 0725671567.